Hello and welcome, friend, to History Raids with Fjorn. And no, it's not as violent as it sounds. I'm Fjorn the Scald, your host with a master's degree in history, here to pillage the past on your behalf, metaphorically. The plunder you're about to hear today was originally produced in 2018, when I was still working on my master's. As a result, some information may be outdated by the time you're listening to this. My past self could even be wrong. If so, you can send corrections via the contact form linked in this episode's description. There, you will also find links to the sources I used in this episode, for your extra plundering pleasure. You can also find even more resources at fjornthescald.com, including interactive digital maps. I should also note that this podcast supports inclusivity, regardless of race, and stands as an ally with the LGBTQ+ community. If you want to support this show and its Scald, simply share it around like Odin's ravens. You can also send a humble tip to my Ko-fi.com page. If you are a fan of fantasy, though, you could just go read or listen to my web novels that I serialize for free under the name Faolnir. That would, in fact, bring me the most joy. But anyway, that's enough blathering from me. Let's get on to the whole raiding history thing. Welcome to Fjorn's Hall, where we gather around the hearthside to share stories from Norse history, literature, and lore. I'm Fjorn the Scald, and I will be your storytelling host for this gathering. In this episode, we're going to enjoy a tale that involves a poor Icelandic farmer who may or may not have spending problems, a beautiful red-cheeked polar bear from Greenland who is sold off to said Icelander, and two powerful Norse kings who are at war with one another, and quite salty about it too. But how on Midgard could all of these things come together within a single tale? In short, our poor Icelandic lead, a man named Oeyðan, manages to purchase the polar bear, which he intends to give away as a gift to one of those kings. And as absurd as that may sound, it's actually a compelling story that takes place in the real world, features real historical characters, and often adheres to realistic social practices. This tale is called Oeyðanar Þáttr Vestfirska, or the tale of Oeyðan from the Westfjords. And although it is hardly over 2,000 words in Old Norse, it is an incredibly rich tale. Not only does this story have so much to say about the society that produced it, so much, in fact, that William Ian Miller has written an entire book about it, but it also captivates the reader through its finely drawn characters and carefully weaved narrative. It is generally thought to have been composed in Iceland during the 1220s, although the earliest manuscript that we have for the tale, called Morkinskinna, dates from the last quarter of the 13th century, about 60 years later. That manuscript is a chronicle of Norwegian kings who ruled between 1030 and 1157, and our tale is often included as part of the larger narrative involving King Harald Hardrada, or Hard Ruler, who ruled over Norway during the mid-11th century. And so our tale takes place during that time, but it also involves one of King Harald's enemies and old ally, King Svein of Denmark. But since this tale is usually connected to sagas about kings, at least in its medieval context, we do have a problem. We're here treating it as though it stands alone. In other words, to more fully understand the deeper meanings behind this tale, we should be considering how it converses with what we will call its host saga, the Chronicle of Norwegian Kings, which in part tells the story of King Harald Hardrada. But in the past, many scholars have treated this tale, and others like it, as if they were standalone medieval short stories. They regarded them as a separate and independent genre called Þættir, which they understood as meaning short stories. But Armin Jakobsen, in his recent article called The Life and Death of the Icelandic Short Story, has argued that this genre was initially invented by 15th century Icelandic scribes, who separated these tales from their host sagas, which were usually about Scandinavian kings. But also that 20th century scholars further reinvented the Þættir to complement their own political views and desires. In the end, Jakobsen concludes that, in their written forms and in their medieval context, these tales were almost always considered parts of larger sagas. and it is worth mentioning that the old Icelandic meaning of the word þáttr was part, rather than short story or even tale. That said, like any other skald or scholar interpreting the past, I have indeed made choices that once again affect our reception of a medieval source. For our gathering, we aim to understand how the heck a poor Icelander named Oeyðn managed to befriend powerful kings using a polar bear. And so naturally, our focus is on Oeyðn and the process of gift exchange that allowed him to schmooze with Norse kings abroad. So we are not necessarily considering how this tale functions within the larger narrative about Norwegian kings, although we will certainly talk a bit about how it shapes our perceptions of the kings in this tale. But even though we are sharing Oeyðn's story alone as an independent tale, we must remember that it wasn't so in its medieval context. But perhaps one day we shall return to this tale once again and reconsider it within the context of its overall saga. But now, without further delay, let's just enjoy our tale. Instead of finding ourselves barraged by a tidal wave of names and family relationships, this tale gets right to the point. There was a man named Oeyðn who lived in the Westfjords. But if you don't know where that is, since most of us don't live in Iceland, it is the most northwestern region of the island. And for those familiar with their saga lore, it is the same part of Iceland where Gisli's saga takes place. But if that still doesn't help, I've included a map of Oeyðn's journey on the Hall's website page for this gathering. So feel free to visit that link if you're curious. But the author does share one more detail with us before moving right along. Oeyðn was poor, or at least he didn't have very much to his name. We're also told that Oeyðn was living with a man named Thorstein at the time, apparently working in exchange for provisions in a passage abroad. So for some unknown period of time, Oeyðn was working there until he was able to save up enough money to travel. But that's not all that Oeyðn was saving up for, because the tale mentions that he also had a mother who depended on him for support. And what sort of man would Oeyðn be if he left his mother to starve while he went off having a good time abroad? Besides, according to Miller, Icelandic law would have threatened him with lesser outlawry, which meant being exiled from Iceland for 3 years and losing all of one's property, if he did not provide his dependents with enough food and lodgings to support them for at least 3 years. And to the credit of this tale's attention to plausibility, that's exactly what Oeyðn does before making his arrangements to leave. And so, having made the necessary preparations, our responsible lad Oeyðn sets sail with a man named Thorir. Their first stop is in Norway, and they spend their first winter abroad at Thorir's farm, which was at a place called Mor. But once summer came, they traveled all the way to Greenland, and it is here where our Viking-worthy gift comes into play, because while they are in Greenland, Oeyðn meets a hunter named Erik, and accompanying him is a polar bear, whose attractive features catch Oeyðn's attention. As one version of this tale relates, the polar bear was exceptionally beautiful and had rosy red cheeks. After such a description, I can only imagine that the polar bear then batted its lush lashes and gave Oeyðn a warm wink, because he immediately told Erik that he would buy the polar bear from him, and he literally offers Erik everything for it, every last penny he had. And in one version of the tale, Erik warns Oeyðn about spending too carelessly, but Oeyðn doesn't seem to care and insists on purchasing this beautiful bear regardless. And so he does, but the madness continues when he mentions his intentions. He is going to travel all the way back to Scandinavia with this bear and give it away as a gift to the King of Denmark. But attractive or not, I'd say that this polar bear is having a pretty rough day. It kind of sucks to be taken away from your home by a hunter and then sold to some crazy poor Icelander just to be taken further away from home to be given to some Norse king. But as far as our tale is concerned, this bear is just an object to be bought, sold, and exchanged. And although we may not like that very much, we can only work with what we have been given here. And unfortunately, since the animal is treated as an object by our tale, it doesn't play a very active role in our story. But perhaps someone in the hall would entertain us with a fanfic where our polar bear has a voice, or at least a more active and lifelike role. I'll promote any saga-inspired fanfic that comes my way, but for now, we should return to our tale. So, while Thorir was probably busy doing actual business in Greenland, it seems like Oeyðn just fooled around and ended up blowing all of his savings on a single but gorgeous polar bear. Whatever the case was, they left Greenland after that and returned to Norway, but it wasn't long before news spread about the arrival of an Icelandic man with a great treasure and beauty to behold. Soon, even the king of Norway heard about Oeyvind and his polar bear friend, and this king was none other than Harald Hardrada himself, who immediately summoned Oeyvind to his hall. And when the Icelander arrived, the king wasted little time and cut straight to the chase, asking Oeyvind, "Is it true that you have a beautiful bear with you?" Oeyvind said yes, and then the king asked, "Would you sell it to me for the same price that you paid for it?" But Oeyvind replied, "I do not want to do that, my lord." And so the king probably squinted his eyes a bit and asked, "Would you sell it for double? That would be more fair, if you have indeed traded everything you own for it." But Oeyvind once again replied, "I don't want to do that, my lord." And although it was clear that Oeyvind didn't want to sell his polar bear, King Harald continued to press him, asking, "Well, will you give it to me then?" But Oeyvind stood by his original reply, speaking more boldly this time, "No, my lord." By now the king was likely perplexed that this poor farmer from Iceland had refused him so stubbornly, but he was also curious, and so he asked what Oeyvind planned to do with this bear, since it was clearly not meant for him. To this Oeyvind replied that he intended to give it as a gift to King Svein of Denmark, who was King Harald's greatest enemy. Unsurprisingly, King Harald replied now with his voice booming throughout the hall, "Are you so stupid that you haven't heard about the enmity between our countries? Or do you reckon that your luck is so great that you can travel with treasures where others cannot go safely, even though they do so out of necessity?" Everyone else probably cowered behind the benches after that, but Oeyvind, still standing by his words in the face of a powerful king, replied, "My lord, that is in your power, but I will not agree to do anything other than what I have set out to do." So although we've been making fun of poor Oeyvind prior to this, mostly for our own amusement, the tale is really starting to present him as a bold and even respectable man at this point. He may seem to have some spending problems, but he is clearly a man who firmly stands beside his word and virtues. And the king certainly takes note of that as well, because although he could have killed Oeyvind and taken the bear for himself, he instead responds in an unexpected way, saying, "Well, why not go ahead then, and be on your way as you please? But come see me when you return, and tell me how King Svein repays you for the bear. It may well be that you are a fortunate man." So instead of robbing poor Oeyvind of his polar pal, King Harald shows some benevolence by granting him safe passage through his kingdom. Passage to deliver a valuable gift to his own enemy, nonetheless. This is an odd but fascinating moment, because it highlights King Harald's character and memory as a powerful yet thoughtful ruler. As we will be told later, this was a very generous act, and such generosity from a powerful host ought to be repaid. Such is the game of gift-giving in the medieval North. But let's continue. So Oeyvind agreed to King Harald's conditions, as if he had any other choice, and swiftly traveled south to Denmark. But along the way, he found himself in yet another difficult situation. He ran out of money. Of course, he never had much to spare after spending so much money on a single bear, but now the tale tells us that Oeyvind was forced to beg for food, both for himself and for his polar bear. This detail certainly aims to emphasize Oeyvind's humility and humble nature, but this effect becomes especially clear when a man named Aki, King Svein's steward, stumbles upon the struggling Oeyvind. Naturally, Aki asked what a man like Oeyvind was doing with a polar bear. I mean, wouldn't you, if you saw a man just walking the streets with a bear? But when he learned that Oeyvind wished to give this bear to his lord, Aki tried to take advantage of the situation. You can just imagine a smug-looking man rubbing his hands together, squinting his eyes in some sort of devious manner, saying this with a smirk on his face. Oh yes, I'll give you the food you need to reach the king, but I want to own half the bear in return. You should consider the fact that the bear will die if you don't have the money that I have for all the food that you need and don't have. If that happens, you won't have any bear at all, and you don't want that, do you? Being pushed into a corner, Oeyvind felt that his best option was to comply with Aki's demands, although he considered it to be a bit of a blunder to his cause. On the bright side, Oeyvind does add that the king should judge the merit of their arrangement later, so there might just be some hope for him yet. But for now, things were a bit frustrating for him. But after what was likely a long walk and awkward silence, Aki and Oeyvind came before the king. The king was sitting at his table, likely enjoying a good meal, and when the men entered his hall, he probably looked up from the table then, and with a puzzled face, he asked who this strange Icelander was. Oeyvind replied that he had come from Greenland and Norway, and that he wanted to give him a polar bear for a gift. He said that he had given everything he owned for the bear, but that he had made one blunder, because now he only owned half of it. At this, the king's eyebrows raised a bit, or so I imagine. He looked over to Aki, his steward, and asked if this story was true. And when Aki said that it was, the king snapped at him, scolding him from the depths of his throat. "Did you really think it was appropriate, given the fact that I have made you a powerful man, to impede and hinder someone from bringing me a great gift? Especially after he has given all of his possessions to buy it, and even when King Harald, our enemy, thought it advisable to give him safe conduct to do so." I like to picture Aki cowering in fear at this point, especially because the king continues bellowing out more insults and punishment. "You deserve to be killed," he thundered. "But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going that far. Instead, you will be outlawed immediately from my kingdom, and don't you dare be caught by my eyes ever again." And then, as all his men were probably dragging Aki out of the hall, he turned to Oeyvind, saying this with a completely different tone in his voice. "But you, Alden, I will thank as though you had given me the entire bear, and please, do stay with me a while." Oeyvind agreed, of course, but after a while, he told the king that he was eager to leave. At first, the king was troubled by this, feeling that Oeyvind was leaving too soon. But once he found out that Oeyvind desired to go on a pilgrimage to Rome, his tone changed. Some of you may have guessed this already, but this is where our tale begins to be a bit more overt about its presentation of these historical Norse kings as ideal medieval Christian kings. They are generous, understanding, never abuse their power, and are always eager to reward the humble and virtuous. And so he said to Oeyvind, "If your plan had not been so noble, your eagerness to leave here would have displeased me greatly." In continuing his generosity to Oeyvind, both because of Oeyvind's lavish gift to him and the unknown author's desire to promote Christian ideals, the king gave him a large amount of silver for this pilgrimage, requesting only that Oeyvind return on his way back. And of course, Oeyvind agreed and then set off with a group of pilgrims, but it wasn't long before Oeyvind faced yet another challenge. Although he had gotten to Rome safely, he grew terribly ill on his way back, and if that wasn't bad enough, there was one other problem. He had also run out of money again, and so yet again, Oeyvind was reduced to vagrancy, begging for food as he became bald and physically deformed from his illness. But perhaps you have begun to notice that Oeyvind fits quite well into the mold of many medieval Christian stories, although we questioned his spending habits earlier. Oeyvind is a poor farmer with a good heart, who often finds himself without any worldly possessions or wealth, but still manages to stay positive and continue pushing towards his goals, even after becoming sick and physically worn. But as we will soon see, this condition serves to further illustrate Oeyvind as a character of humility, and when our Norse kings interact with such a humble man, treating him kindly and honorably, they are, as a result, presented to the audience as generous Christian rulers. These religious undertones are important to keep in mind because they influence our perception of the unfolding story. At the very least, they would have encouraged a medieval audience to be more content with kingship, even though Icelandic society at that time was governed without a king. But while we could lose ourselves pondering over the many ways in which this tale could relate back to its own contemporary context, we should return to our tale. So somehow, despite his weakness and suffering, Oeyvind fulfilled his promise and made his way back to Denmark. He arrived there during Easter, but, having succumbed to such illness and deformity, he could not bring himself to face the king, who was, by contrast, always dressed in fine clothes and surrounded by noble company. But eventually, the king did notice that a man was lingering around the hall, a man who didn't seem to have the courage to approach him. Of course, this man was Oeyvind, but the king was unable to recognize him at first. But instead of ignoring this strange and weary man, The king beckoned him to enter the hall, and when Oeithen came, he immediately fell down at the king's feet, perhaps even with tears rolling down his cheeks. It took a while, as I imagine King Svein was quite surprised by this behavior, but when he recognized who this man was, he took Oeithen's hand, welcomed him, and said, "You have changed much since we last met." But the king's men, on the other hand, who were stupid and drunk at the time, laughed at poor Oeithen. The king turned to them, and with a resounding voice he said, "You have no cause to laugh, for he has better provided for his soul than you have." And so, having scolded his own followers, the king had a bath prepared for Oeithen, and offered him both clothes and shelter. But before long, the king offered Oeithen an even greater honor, to remain with him permanently and become his cupbearer. But in staying true to his character, Oeithen declined this gracious offer, saying to King Svein, "I couldn't possibly live with the fact, my lord, that I am held here in honor with you while my mother is a vagrant back home in Iceland. I fear that the provisions I left for her before I left home are now exhausted." The king, of course, considered this response well and noble, telling Oeithen, "You will turn out to be a fortunate man indeed." Then he offered him a ship as repayment for the bear, but also gave him a pouch full of silver to hang on to in case his ship wrecked along Iceland's harborless coast, as a sort of insurance policy, one could say. But then the king offered him yet another gift, a golden arm ring, which, in the medieval north, was truly a prestigious gift to receive. And the purpose of these gifts, as King Svein himself told Oeithen 3 times, was to ensure that he would have something to show others in Iceland that he had met King Svein, given him an impressive gift, and received great honor in return. In other words, these gifts would serve as proof of his adventure and fortune abroad, thus greatly improving his reputation and social standing back home. But the arm ring came with a special condition. After giving it to Oeithen, King Svein said, "I would advise you not to give the arm ring away unless you feel like you must repay a very great favor done to you by a noble man. Then you may give that man the arm ring, for it would befit men of high standing to accept it." And then, after those words, King Svein said farewell to Oeithen. Now, although it wasn't directly stated, the man that King Svein was likely referring to is of course King Harald, and we certainly shouldn't allow ourselves to forget that they were enemies. So why would King Svein add this detail now? William Ian Miller interprets this part of the tale as King Svein's way of giving a gift back to King Harald indirectly. But why give a gift to his enemy? Well, it seems that King Svein considered King Harald's blessing to allow Oeithen to travel to Denmark as a sort of gift itself. In other words, Miller suggests that, because King Harald allowed Oeithen to deliver his gift to King Svein, that the polar bear was also, in part, a gift from King Harald himself. After all, King Harald could have taken the bear for himself, and had he not allowed Oeithen safe passage through Norway, the gift would have never reached King Svein in the first place. Considering that, King Harald is actually partially responsible for its delivery, and so King Svein decides to return the favor and fulfill his obligation by transferring a gift back to King Harald in the same way, through Oeithen. So yes, here we have an example of medieval giftception, and it's brilliant. So let's see how the end of our tale unfolds. How will King Harald react? So as we might expect, Oeithen stopped in Norway before heading back home to Iceland, but we should remember that he did have a promise to King Harald that he would return there and tell him what King Svein had given him for the polar bear. So in order to fulfill his promise, Oeithen went to the king and greeted him warmly. Then King Harald said, "Sit down and drink with us, and tell me, how did King Svein reward you for the bear?" And so Oeithen recounted his tale, and at every step King Harald responded that he would have rewarded Oeithen in the same way, until Oeithen mentioned the pouch of silver, that is. When he told King Harald that King Svein had given him a pouch of silver to ensure that he would not be penniless upon his return to Iceland, even if his ship were wrecked and all of his goods were lost, King Harald responded with excitement, exclaiming, "Splendid! Even I would not have thought to do that! I would have considered myself free from obligation after giving you the ship." But then the king asked if Oeithen had been given anything more, and Oeithen replied that he had indeed been given an arm ring. He told King Harald the condition that Svein said came along with it, that it ought to only be given to some noble man who did him a great favor. And then Oeyvind said, "And I have now found that man. For you had the power to deprive me of both bear and life, yet you let me travel in peace to a place where others could not." And with this, the king warmly accepted the arm ring and gave Oeyvind many fine gifts in return. And some versions of this tale say that those gifts were a sword and a cloak, which were both very prestigious gifts to receive from a Norse king. And so, when Oeyvind returned home to Iceland, he was thereafter considered an exceedingly fortunate man. So ends our tale about Oeyvind and his polar bear. But before our gathering ends, let's enjoy a few final remarks. There are many things that we could discuss about this tale, but I fear that we would be here all day if I rambled on about all of its rich details. If you truly crave more, though, then I highly encourage you to seek out Miller's book about this tale, which I've included a link to in the description. In that book, Miller provides the legal, economic, and social context that you need to better understand the complex framework that makes this tale so compelling. He also covers things that I have left out entirely, such as Oeyvind's luck, which was an important part of the Old Norse worldview. But in the meantime, I hope that you've enjoyed my retelling of this charming medieval tale about a poor Icelandic farmer, an attractive polar bear, and a few fascinating Norse kings. I just wish that our polar bear played a more active role, but after being given away to King Svein, it was simply a gift given, rather than the blushing bear beauty it was when we first met it in Greenland. But perhaps someone in the hall would like to take up that offer to write a fanfic about this polar bear. If someone does, please do let me know about it so I can share it with everyone else. But now that we have enjoyed our tale, I'd love to hear what everyone thought about it. In particular, I'd be curious to know what you all think about Oeyvind's acquired fortune. Do you think the tale calls him a very fortunate man at the end because of the material wealth that he gained along his journey? Or is his fortune meant to be perceived as something more spiritual, as a result of his continued humility and overall good character? Or perhaps it's a bit of both? Let me know what you think. And if you feel that my gift of a podcast episode has been well received, perhaps you could return the favor by leaving the podcast a review on iTunes. Such a favor would be a gift to us all, for it helps promote the podcast and allows me to continue producing entertaining content that occasionally teaches us things about the people who wrote and told these tales. But either way, I wish you all the safest of travels. Perhaps you'll run into a beautiful bear with blushing red cheeks one day that you can give away to a Scandinavian king yourself, as long as it doesn't maul off your face first. I'm Fjorn, your humble scald, and thank you kindly for joining me today. That's all for today, my friends. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out today's featured artifact on your way out. Also, as a reminder, you can support this show simply by spreading the word on your wings. You can also tip this scald on coffee.com, because I really do enjoy my coffee. And to my fantasy friends, don't forget to check out my free web novels at faelnir.com. But until next time, keep wandering.